Well, we got the full thing here. Lynn, do you want to pronounce that properly? Because I'll butcher it.
It's Nantianodua.
Say it again, please.
Nantianodua.
How many know what that is? That's the official motto of the RCMP. Maintain the right or uphold the law. Yeah. We are somewhere in the area of, if my count is right, 31 weeks of COVID. And that's a review of everything we've done during that time. You can roll her up. Review of last Sunday's devotional. Justice Sheet, exclamation mark, question, exclamation mark, question. There are two different kinds of sheep according to Scripture. There's those that are going their own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. I did, but I'm not anymore. You know? And then there's the sheep of the Lord. The natural sheep hears, but rejects. For years of my life, I rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. I shared before that my dad's mother had passed away when dad was 16. He was the oldest in the family. And the other kids got put into foster care. One was actually adopted. Aunt Claire was adopted by a family that ended up in Portland, Oregon. My dad just had a lot of pains and a lot of bitternesses. And for years, I rejected the Lord. I rejected the gospel message. And one of the families that helped raise my dad was Ruby and Cecil Moore, and they were Foursquare ministers. And we attended the church there for a little bit, and when I was 14, I said to Dad, I said, I don't get this. I don't feel like going. He says, if you don't want to go, we won't go. A 14-year-old made the family decision. And then when I was late 26, early 27, I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I became one of His sheep. And the characteristics in John 10 is, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. They don't follow others because they don't recognize their voice, you know? And for the next few weeks, the theme is hearing God's voice. And that includes the message today. We need to hear the voice of the Lord in the world that we're living in today. And it's not getting better. You know, Lynn was communicating with a friend of hers who lives in Portland, and some people are excited about the possible result of the election in the States, and others are quite discontent. And she shared with Lynn that she actually left the church they were attending because they're embracing things that to her are not biblical. And it's causing strife, it's causing division. Portland, as you remember, earlier this year, late August, and they're having huge riots there. Things aren't getting better. So we come to the message today of maintain the right. And government has a responsibility. Before we turn to Romans 13, I want to read a portion of Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, and he answered them. He says, you see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. When you look at scenes of Jerusalem today and what is referred to as the Wailing Wall, that's not part of the temple structure. That's a retaining wall holding the mount up so that it wouldn't slide away, and the temple was up above that. And the Dome of the Rock is there at current time. Verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, in 70 AD, the Romans literally plowed Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed, and there wasn't a stone left upon another. He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars? See that you're not alarmed. That's hard to do, isn't it? Now, he said, you're going to see this. And I've seen Christians say, we got to pray against war. But my Bible says, for this must take place. Well, there's a happy note, eh? he says, this is going to take place. You know? You can try to pray against it, but you're ignoring the nature of man. You know? God will not usurp our will. He says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, take courage. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. We're not getting better, folks. And the Bible says it's going to get worse. We need to understand that. Do not buy into the deception that things are going to get better. That's contrary to not just the words of the Bible. These are Jesus' words. I don't have a red letter edition. How many got a red letter edition? These words are in red, right? This is what Jesus is saying. I'm just reading it. If you got a disagreement with this, take it up with the Lord. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In the meantime, we are called to maintain the right. And let's look at this. I want to go to Romans 13. I started about 2 weeks ago preparing for this message. One of my Bibles I have two ESV study Bibles. I have a handheld one and then the larger one. The handheld doesn't have the extra articles that the larger edition does. The larger edition has a whole section in the back on just war theology. And I was going through that and really looking at that and praying and dealing with it. And it challenges me. Remembrance Day and what we're doing today does not glorify war. Doesn't. It acknowledges history. And it acknowledges the prophetic word of God that there's more coming yet. And what are you going to do with it? That takes us to Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. In December, I have to make a final payment on my income tax. And I have to be subject. Hello? And there's times I don't want to be. There's times I look at what government is doing and I don't know if I want to support this. And I have to remind myself, chapter 13 is part of a letter written to who? Have you got a heading up at the top there in the corner of the page? Romans! Were they a good, godly government? Anything but. And the Holy Spirit says to them, to the Romans, he says, you be subject to the governing authorities. And I have to remind myself of that frequently. For there is no authority except from God, and that exists has been instituted by God. That is not saying that the current leaders we have were put in by God. But the institute of government has been put in by God. We voted those individuals in. God will use them. God will deal with them. But He institutes human government. I'm reading through the Bible for the second time this year, and I'm currently in 2 Samuel. Do you recall earlier in 1 Samuel, and I didn't look this up. Cheryl's not here, and she's usually pretty good at finding that for me. If you got your phone, if you want to Google Bible, I gave them a king in my anger, and it'll give you the reference. It's in one of the minor prophets. But after the period of the judges, Samuel anoints the first king, who happens to be Saul. And he's frustrated that this is happening. And God says to Samuel, He says, I want you to anoint him. He says, now, I want you to understand something. They're not rejecting you. He's speaking to the prophet. He says, they're not rejecting the order of you as a prophet or the judges. He says, they're rejecting me. He says they want a king like everybody else. That was their statement. And you go to the minor prophets, it says, and God gave them a king, get this, in His anger. If we vote in people that function in a way that is dishonoring to God, it's on us, not on God. But He instituted government. And He'll deal with them. Usually not according to my timetable. But He will address it. You read the rest of Matthew 24. He says he will judge the nations, and He will separate the sheep from the goats. There's a judgment coming. You know, it's going to happen. He says, but you be subject to them. John Taylor, as much as you may disagree with things that are happening, leave it with me and you do what you are supposed to do. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. Now, put your finger there and just think about this for a second. The Bible and the prophet says there will come a day when they'll call that which is good evil, and they'll call that which is evil good. He says, but I'll deal with them. Okay? This is why I started working on this a couple of weeks ago, because this is a whole very complicated subject. You got to figure out, John, how you're going to walk within this, within the Word and the counsel of God. Hearing what God's got to say to you, you need to do that, John. They're a terror to good conduct. Not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? How many here can remember a time, maybe it was in the last week, where you're driving down the highway and you see the lights coming up behind you? And what do you immediately start thinking? What did I do? And you're so relieved when they go past you. Yeah? He says, why do you have no fear of authority? Then do what is good and you will receive His approval. Regardless of what our leaderships are doing, John, you do that which is good and you'll get God's approval. Get this, He is God's servant. God will deal with them. He is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for He does not bear the sword in vain. That's an intense study in itself. There is a sword of justice. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They're to deal with things. for he's a servant of God and an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. That's a subject a lot of people don't want to hear about today, is the wrath of God. You know? And that's why I emphasize songs that talk about his love, even once embraces. But let's be clear. There's a wrath that's coming. You go to the book of Revelation. You got the opening of the scrolls. Okay? And then the angels come out carrying seven bowls and they're filled with the wrath of God. Don't tell me that God isn't wrathful. The wrath of God endures forever, the Bible says. There's a coming judgment. He'll judge the governments. Meantime, John, you do what you're supposed to do. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but for the sake of conscience, that I'm clean before God. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Oh, darn. So I can't oppose it, you know. You know? For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. The responsibility of government, major point number one. Government should represent the Lord God Almighty. And it's my evaluation today that governments generally are not doing that. Romans 13:1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who that exist have been instituted by God. They're supposed to have an obligation to honor God. God will deal with it. I can't. I can only do what I'm supposed to do, and they will have to give account to God. You know? Government should seek the will of God, not man. Politically correct is a repeat of Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. That's what's happening today. You know? Some of the nonsense that happened this last summer. The burnings and all these things that were taking place. It's just, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, thank God I'm one of his sheep and I'm not doing that anymore. Amen? Government is to maintain the right. Lynn, do you want to say that again?
Mientendua.
My mientend comes out more like maintain. You know? Romans 13:3. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. This is my opinion here, okay? You can take it or reject it. I don't care. I'm announcing, you know, this is my opinion. My opinion is that only the Lord is good. And only God can declare what is good. We need to be praying that our elected officials would hear God. That's my opinion. This whole thing, I think this thing is politically correct. You know, governing based on the will of the people. To me, it's just nonsense. That's my opinion. I'm not dogmatic about it. It's my opinion. You may agree or disagree with me. That's up to you. Mark 10:18 says, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So when I pray for government, I pray that their heart would be turned to God and that their ears would hear the counsel of God and that their mind would be renewed. Because in my opinion, we're going in directions that we ought not to be. First Timothy 2:1-2. First of all then, I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Godly and dignified in every way. Now, Paul knew the scripture. He knew that in the end days there would be wars and rumors of wars. The thing would get worse. He says, but listen, your responsibility is to pray that your leaders would walk in a godly way, that you would live a quiet and peaceable life. You know? But don't be deceived. Don't think that you're going to live a quiet and peaceable life. Listen, the more you stand for Christ, the more people are going to turn against you. He says, you're going to be delivered over. You know? My prayers won't change the words of Jesus. You know? There was a time, 40 years ago, where we felt very safe in Canada, regardless of what was happening in the world. That sense of safety isn't there anymore. No? Next slide. Government is to bear the sword of God's wrath. This goes all the way back to Genesis and the covenant with Noah. That there were things that they were to do to govern. And we're not doing it. You know, this is going on in the air, and I don't hesitate and say, I think it's wrong when our government says that we can bring ISIS terrorists into Canada and just, it's okay. There's coming a day that they'll call that which is evil, good, and that which is good, evil. Authority is supposed to represent the counsel of God and wield the sword of God's wrath. Well, that might upset some people's theology. I don't know. But the government has an obligation. What do you do? Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for conscience' sake. That my conscience is clean. I was quite distressed when I discovered that in Canadian police forces in 2019, 38 officers died in the line of duty. You have a son with the RCMP. My brother was with the RCMP. He had to take an early discharge. Because a couple of days prior to an incident, he had given a man a speeding ticket. A couple of days later, my brother is parked on the other side of the Meridian on the highway, giving a guy a ticket. And this guy's going home, and he's still upset about the ticket he got, and he's inebriated, and he goes through the Meridian, and he rear-ends my brother was in a pursuit car, RCMP Camaro, and he was injured. And he received some brain damage. The RCMP couldn't prove that he was having seizures, but you would talk to him and he would take a little holiday while he was looking at you, and he had no idea what you had said or anything. And he couldn't prove that he wasn't having seizures. The medical, they weren't able to confirm one way or the other. So he was no longer able to they couldn't put a, I mean, you can't put a guy like that onto a police motorcycle or in a police car, because what if he takes a little holiday while he's driving? You know? She says, so you know what they did? They put me in the property room. He says, I put away $300,000 worth of drugs. I got back to the book and I couldn't remember where I put it. And he eventually they discharged him eventually, because he was deteriorating. He wasn't getting better. So after 23 years, he took a medical discharge. He wasn't killed on the line of duty, but his life changed. This is only the ones that are killed. Go to the next slide. This is World War II. Deaths by countries. This isn't the full makeup. I only took out some of what I regarded as highlights. I was stunned. Belgium, in World War II, their military, 12,100 were killed. But they had a total death rate of 86,100. That includes civilians, not combatants. 74,000 civilians were killed. Czechoslovakia had a military of 25,000 that were killed, but there were 320,000 civilians that were killed. Estonia had a small army. None were killed, but they were defeated. But 51,000 civilians were killed. Same with Latvia, 227,000. Lithuania, 353,000. China military, they lost between 3 and 4 million. But the total death count was 20 million. 17 million civilians. War is ugly. It's horrifying. Korea, no million. But they lost between 378,000 and 473,000. I always thought Saipan, for some reason, I thought it was part of the mainland, but it was one of the islands. And during the war, and they're trying to take these various islands to get close enough they could have bombing missions against Japan. They tried to take Saipan. A huge number of civilians were killed there, and most all of them were Korean. That's where some of these numbers come from. Horrific. The Philippines, their military, 57,000 were killed, but between 500,000 and 1 million total were killed. So you got a huge number. You got over 800,000 civilians that were killed. War is ugly. And listen, in maintaining the right, well, I don't know if we should go to war. Listen, we have an obligation to defend those who are being victimized. And it's at a cost. You can pray that God will end war, but I want to tell you, in His Word, He says, it's not going to happen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Am I my brother's keeper? That goes back to what? Genesis 3 or 4, somewhere in there. And it's a rhetorical. He's asking the question. The rhetorical answer from God is, of course you are. We have an obligation. You don't sit back and let this kind of stuff happen. But there's a cost to us if you respond. Okay, next. The responsibility of individuals. We're called to be subject. Verses 5 through 7. So we though, that's chapter 12, that doesn't read right. Therefore we must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you pay taxes. You remember when Jesus was asked, should we be paying taxes? He says, who's got a coin? Give me a coin. He says, whose image and inscription is on this? They said Caesar's. Remember what Jesus' response was? Give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and give unto God that which belongs to God. So Bob, when December comes, I have to make my final income tax payment. I'm not going to do it walking and leaping and praising God, but I'm going to do it. Give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. He says, listen, you need to do good. To sit back, the idea that 20 million Chinese were killed in World War II, not by Allied forces. And if we sat back and done nothing, how would that ever constitute justice? How would that ever constitute mercy or compassion? I'm not advocating war. I'm declaring to you, God says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. What are you going to do? My father served in the military during World War II. He was stationed on a Corvette. Lynn's dad was served in World War II, also on a Corvette. These two old dudes were sitting and talking one time shortly after we got married. Then they determined that they were both ported in Halifax at the same time. And they were at the berth, and they were their tied up parallel. One had to cross the other ship to get onto their own. And I thought, wow, seems like Lynn and I were meant to get together at some point. Or, you know. My dad was not a warmonger, but he knew he had to do something. He tried to get into the army, but he had bad feet, which I think is hysterical because he ended up delivering mail in peacetime. You know? Do good, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval. I have an obligation to do that which is right. Yeah? But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. There'll come a time when, this is out of Acts, was it chapter 4, I think, 4 or 5. I thought I'd put the reference in, but I apparently didn't. It's not in my notes either. They were commanded no longer to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were released. And they go back and they tell the others, and they said, you know, we have an obligation. We must obey God rather than man. If the government asks me to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, contrary to my faith understanding, then I must be prepared to stand for God. And if it means I have to bear unjust consequences from those rulers, then I bear it. That's what the whole thing of... Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? More people today, in the last couple of years, more people have been dying for their faith, you know, in Christ than any other time in history. What's that group that was abducting people, Lynn? They're abducting girls. Yeah. Say it again, dear, out loud. You know, and they're killing Christians. They're killing a friend of ours is a missionary in Nigeria, and they've lost pastors. You know, shot and they burnt the building. And you don't hear about it. You know, if you say something against another group of people, oh, it hits the headlines. But atrocities against Christians aren't being talked about. But they're not denying their faith. They're standing and losing their lives. So we need to do good. And if the government asks us to do that which is evil, we have an obligation to hear God and do good. And if I suffer for it, I suffer for it. Now, that doesn't fill me with warm fuzzies. But there's coming a day. You know? Some of you had the opportunity to go to Steinbeck and Pastor Ray, and I'm still in mentoring with him. Our group is getting a little smaller because, you know, we're 4 or 5 years into it now, and there's just attrition, you know. But the overall numbers are growing. There's over 650 in the mentoring program now, and there's a number of coaches, including Phil Collins, who is the lead pastor where Kim and Jeremy are. And we got a whole network now that is developing in the Philippines and in the Far East. But he reminded us that a few years back he met with his leadership, and they needed to do an expansion of their building. It was going to come in at about like $10 million, and they decided to do it. But he says, you need to understand, we could lose our building. He says, the way things are going, we can lose our building. But they did it anyway. But then COVID hit. And they couldn't use their building. They haven't lost it, but, you know, I mean, you folks are there, right? Huge facility. And at one point, they were allowed 50. You know, you could put this building into it several times. Are you going to stand for Christ? Are you going to do good? Are you going to honor God or man? Okay, next. Psalm 82, 3 and 4 says, give justice to the weak. I look at those numbers of the civilians that were killed. You know, Estonia didn't have a military, but they lost 58,000 civilians. Sorry, 51,000. Latvia, no military, World War II. But they lost nearly a quarter of a million, 227,000. Lithuania, no military, but they lost 353,000. And then you look at the numbers for like China. 20 million. And between 3 and 4 million of those were military. So that's around 16 million civilians. Now, if you think that's okay and that we shouldn't take arms against it, I feel for you. I don't think that any God-fearing, God-loving people can sit back and watch 16 million non-combatives put to death. These numbers don't include the 6 million Jews that were put through, or the 3 million Poles that were put, because it wasn't just Jews. I mean, there was around 9 million that were killed in the Holocaust. That's not reflected in some of these numbers. Korea, nearly a half million, 473,000. The Philippines, between a half a million and a million, and only 57,000 of those were military personnel. We're not here glorifying war. We're remembering that there's a cost to doing that which is right. Did I send that one to you about the kids that were talking? I can't remember if I did that. I don't know if it... You're giving me a look like... I don't recall that, so... It's like, in all likelihood, I forgot to send that to you. Whoop, that's the wrong one. This one. Yeah. You can't see it because it's not on the screen. It's just on my phone. Two kids are talking. Did you lose your granddad in the war? Nope. Did you lose your great-granddad in the war? Nope. Your great-great-great-granddad? No. So why are you wearing a poppy? And the response is, for all the soldiers who never got to be dads or granddads or great-granddads or great-great-granddads. There is a cost to doing that which is right. And we are not glorifying war. We're declaring, according to the Word of God, that as time goes towards the kingdom of God, there's going to be more wars. Kingdom against nation, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. There'll be more wars and rumors of wars, and you've got to do something about it. And we have in the past. At significant cost to us, but when I look at what was happening before we intervened, I can't imagine where it would have gone. I mean, some had the notion, some of the Axis forces had the notion that these other people needed to be exterminated completely. And they were on the road. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That's what I'm remembering. I am so grateful that my son does not have to go to war. I'm grateful that I don't have to go to war. You know? I had trouble picking a title. You know? I thought, we should title it The Call of Duty. And I thought, no, that's a video game, it's really violent. You know, we're not here to glorify war. We're here to declare there's a cost to doing that which is right. But can you imagine what the cost would have been to other lives if we hadn't? That's what I want to get through to you. That God says you need to be responsive to these. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. What a cost. What a cost. But what would it have been if we hadn't? Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. There's peace is coming, but it's not going to come until the Prince of Peace returns. You know? Isaiah 2:2-4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. You know, I struggled with some of these wordings. You know, the highest of the mountains. You know, what's that about? And I'm listening to a lecture series by a professor in Green Bay at the University of Wisconsin. And some of the earliest civilizations were in Mesopotamia. Do you know what Mesopotamia means? The land between two rivers, the Euphrates and Tigris. They didn't have stones. It's a mud delta, the whole area. So they made everything out of mud brick. And it was subject to flash floods. So if you didn't beef up ground around your dwelling, it would wash away in the flood, then you'd have to rebuild. But some of them made some journeys, and they discovered on the outlying areas, if you went far enough, you ran into mountains. You know, they didn't even have wood. That's why they wrote on mud tablets and then baked them. I mean, so they thought the gods lived in the mountains. That's what this is about. This is Isaiah writing to people who, that's their frame of reference. Where is their God? In the mountains. You know? So God's addressing them in a way that connects to them. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord. Now the Babylonians and the Assyrians and all those in the Mesopotamian area are listening. Because that's where they think God is up in the mountains. Are you with me? Okay? Didn't make much sense to me, because I always thought God was up there. I've lived in the mountains. No. The house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes from among peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But that's not happening until the Prince of Peace comes again. Amen? And he's not going to come again until there's wars and rumors of wars. And he says, listen, he says, don't be, he says, these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, John, are you going to do that which is right? That's the challenge. And all I can say is, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Okay? A long portion here, Revelation 21 to 22. And then we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to have a closing hymn. And you know something, Tim? It'll be 12. You were just looking at your watch. I look at him to fill him in on where we are, and he's already shaking his way. Oh, yeah. Well, I love you, brother. I really do. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the earth, first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from out of heaven from God, prepared not for the bride, prepared as a bride. We are the New Jerusalem. You're the habitation of God now and for all of eternity. Adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain any more, for the former things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. For the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." We're appointed to be overcomers. Okay, this is not, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like the most rare jewel, like jasper and clear as crystal, and had a great high wall with 12 gates, and the gates were 12 angels, and the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. Okay, and so we'll go to chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the streets of the city. Also on the side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. Okay, God's going to deal with the nations in the future. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it. The servants will worship him. They will see his face. Remember Moses' prayer? That I would see your face? He says, "You can't see my face. If you saw my face, you'd die. But you're going to get to see his face." They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. The night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be the light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirit of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, and the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book.'" Okay? That's you and I. Worship God. "And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.'" That was 2,000 years ago. If it was near then, we're much closer now. Amen? No? I hope so, yeah. "Let the evildoer still..." No, isn't this... You know, God will not usurp your free will. "Let the evildoer still do evil." Listen, if the Holy Spirit can't change a person's heart, you're sure not going to be able to change it. "Let the evil person still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do what is right, and the holy still be holy." That's you and I, amen? Okay? We're going to be righteous. We're going to be holy. That's what God wants us to do. "Behold, I'm coming soon. Bring in my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done." Wrath is coming. I'm the Alpha Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. And let the one who is who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life. That's serious stuff, folks. Don't add to or take away from the Word of God. If you can't give me chapter and verse, don't give it to me. Which are described in the book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. You know what amen means? Say it again. So they did. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. So ends the book. But until then, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And our responsibility is to do that which is right. To defend the weak. To extend mercy to those that need help. I have no problem saying we need to be putting some money into that basket out there. I'm not telling you what to do, but I make a commitment to do it every 2 weeks. I get paid and I put some in there. Why? Because I'm well fed. Where's that? There's a verse in Scripture that says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay. Just a thought. We have an obligation. Do that which is right. Amen? Maintain the right. That's what we remember today. We remember if we as a nation hadn't joined in with the Allied forces, who knows how many would have been lost. I can't imagine the pain and the struggling that was taking place in those high offices when they were looking at using the atomic bombs on Japan. And do you know that part of the process they went through was calculating the losses of both the Allied forces and the Japanese if they had to invade Japan to end the war? And they concluded that the lesser of the evils, the lesser of the losses, would be if they dropped those two bombs. The thousands that died in Saipan alone, trying to take that on. Aren't you glad you didn't have to sit and make those decisions? But I'm glad that Lynn's dad and my dad participated in defending those who needed to be defended. Amen? That's not glorifying war. That's saying there's atrocities that take place that would continue if you didn't intervene. Amen? Lest we forget. Let's stand, close the hymn.